لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Alhamdulillah, we are once again able to start our study in the Hawza, a new semester, and inshallah with very fresh mind and inshallah heart. And in particular, we are very blessed that inshallah we are going to talk about the Quran. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance and support throughout the semester, inshallah, throughout the year, actually. And what we are going to do is we are going to have a series of lectures on understanding the Quran. Although the title is Quranic Sciences, and we are going to cover many aspects of the Quranic sciences that the time would permit. But my main concern is not to have a standard or classic course on Quranic sciences. My main concern is to know Quran more in order to develop more love for the Quran and more connection with the Quran. Some of the things that are discussed in Ulum al-Quran, some of them are sometimes just some discussions that they are good, maybe they are useful, but not necessarily making you better appreciate the Quran. Even sometimes actually they make you more, kind of puzzled or confused sometimes. And some of the things are good for the people who are in that field. What we want to, inshallah, do is to develop ourselves a better understanding of the Quran so that we can better appreciate the Quran and we can better, inshallah, understand the Quran, better implement the Quran. So some of our discussions may overlap with Ulum al-Quran books, some of them may not. For today, what we want to do is we want to study some hadith about the significance of the Quran. In our hadith, we have many, many teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam about the Quran. What I am going to share with you is few hadith I have selected from Al-Kafi by the late Shaykh Kulayni. Kitabu Fadl al-Qur'an. There is a section on the merits of the Qur'an, and that section has different chapters. These hadiths that I'm going to share with you, all of them are from this section. And I will give you the number. For Kafi, sometimes the page numbers, the volumes are different. But if you know the section, and you know the number of hadith or the subtitle, then you can easily find it, no matter which pages. You know that for very important books, classic books, we don't give references with page number. So for example, for the Quran, if someone wants to give reference for ayah, shouldn't say, page so and so. Yeah, should say chapter so and so and verse so and so. For Bible, you don't say page so and so. For Kafi also, if you give volume and page, they should know which edition. Anyway, it's Kitabu Fadl al-Qur'an. The first hadith is a hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Part of the content, part of the idea which is mentioned in this hadith is mentioned in another hadith in a very brief way, and inshallah we are going to study that hadith as well. The first hadith is an Abi Ja'far alayhi salam qal. Imam Baqir alayhi salam told a person who was called Sa'd, Ya Sa'd, ta'allamul Quran. O Sa'd, learn the Quran. فَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي أَحْسَنِ صُورَةٍ نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا الْخَالِقِ. In order to encourage him to learn the Quran and better appreciate the Quran, Imam Baqir alayhi salam explained for him what would be the situation of the Quran on the Day of Judgment. Okay? Imam said, on the Day of Judgment, the Quran will come in the most beautiful condition that people have seen, in the most beautiful face, in the most beautiful form that people have ever seen. So you cannot compare it to any beautiful person. You cannot compare it to Yusuf, for example. Okay? No one has seen that beautiful face. وَالنَّاسُ صُفُوفٌ عِشْرُونَ وَمِئَةُ أَلْفْ صَفٍ. Because it's Day of Judgment, so all the people are there. Yeah? All human beings from the beginning up to the end are there. And they will be assembled in different groups. 120,000 groups. 80,000 are the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 80 alf saf ummat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa 40 alf saf. Min sa'ir al umam. And 40,000 from other nations. Salaam alaikum. Either this means the number of Muslims would be more, or it may mean that the number of Muslims are not more. The number of the groups that will be organized from Muslim would be more. Because we don't know, maybe in each saf there is no equal number. So you shouldn't assume that necessarily there is equal number in each group, in each row. Anyway, فَيَعْتِي عَلَى صَفِّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي سُورَةِ رَجُلٍ. Quran, that most beautiful face will come, Quran, and it comes to the group, to the, to the assembly of Muslims. فَيُسَلِّمْ and says salam. فَيَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْهِ. They look at the Quran. They say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْحَلِيمُ الْكَرِيمُ إِنَّ هَذَا الرَّجُلْ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ نَعْرِفُهُ بِنَعْتِهِ وَصِفَتِهِ. They say, he is a Muslim. He has all the good things we know about Muslims. We see in him the characteristics of Muslims. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ. But he is different from us. So the reason for the difference is أَنَّهُ كَانَ أَشَدَّ اجْتَهَادًا مِنَّا فِي الْقُرْآنِ. But he must be a Muslim who has struggled more in being with the Quran, learning Quran, reciting the Quran. أَشَدُّ اجْتَهَادًا. He has made more efforts. So, look at the logic. This logic is very important. On the Day of Judgment, when Muslims see there is a Muslim, they think he is a Muslim. Later we will see that it was not a Muslim. But when they see a Muslim who is better than all, they say it must be because he has done more efforts in learning, teaching, reading Quran. You understand? So it means that this is why someone can be better in another person on the Day of Judgment. As you know, the idea of اقرأ ورقة, we will explain later.
So, فمن هناك أعطي من البهاء والجمال والنور ما لم نعطه. They say, so because of this person has done more ijtihad. Ijtihad here is literal sense, means effort, struggle. Has done more ijtihad with respect to the Quran. This is why it has more beauty, more light than us. ثم يجاوز. But the Quran would not stop with them. The Quran will continue and passes by them. حتى يأتي على صف الشهداء. Then the Quran would reach the martyrs. فينظرون إليه. The martyrs look at the Quran, this beautiful face, beautiful human being. يقولون لا إله إلا الله رب الرحيم. إن هذا الرجل من الشهداء. They say he is one of the martyrs. نعرفه بسمته وصفته. We know the qualities of this person. غير أنه, but he is better than us. So when the martyrs see that he is better than them, they think that the martyrdom that he had was more difficult. So they say, غير أنه من شهداء البحر. He must be a person who was killed in a battle on the sea. Because one of the most difficult type of being killed and martyred is when you are fighting in the sea. Yeah? On the land, at least you have some security. Yeah? If someone is killed in the sea, then it's more difficult. So they say he must be one who is killed maybe in a boat or somewhere, you know, in the sea. فَمِنْ هُنَاكَ أُعْطِيَ مِنَ الْبَهَاءِ وَالْفَضْلِ مَا لَمْ نُعْتَهِ. So this is the reason why he has been given this, all this merit that we are not given. فَيَتَجَاوَز. But Quran would not stop with the martyrs. حَتَّى يَأْتِي صَفَّ شُهَدَاءِ الْبَحْرِ. Even when reaches the martyrs who are killed in the sea, فَيَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ شُهَدَاءُ الْبَحْرِ فَيَكْثُرُ تَعَجُّبُهُمْ. They will be very surprised. فَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّ هَذَا مِنْ شُهَدَاءِ الْبَحْرِ نَعْرِفُهُ بِسَمْتِهِ وَصِفَتِهِ غَيْرَ أَنَّ الْجَزِيرَةَ الَّتِي أُصِيبَتْ فِيهَا كَانَتْ أَعْظَمُ هَؤُلَاءِ مِنَ الْجَزِيرَةِ الَّتِي أُصِبْنَا فِيهَا. So they see, still he's better than them. So he said, maybe he's killed in a battle in an island which was more difficult than our battle. So this is the way they try to explain why he's better than them. فَمِنْ هُنَاكَ أُعْطِيَ مِنَ الْبَهَاءِ وَالْجَمَالِ وَالنُّورِ مَا لَمْ نُعْتَهُ. After that, the Quran reaches prophets. ثُمَّ يُجَاوِزْ حَتَّى يَأْتِي صَفَّ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ and the messengers. فِي سُورَةِ النَّبِيِّينَ مُرْسَلِ. When they look at the Quran in the form of a human being, they see it has all the beautiful qualities of the prophets and messengers, but still it's special. فَيَنْظُرُ النَّبِيُّونَ وَالْمُرْسَلُونَ إِلَيْهِ فَيَشْتَدُّ لِذَلِكَ تَعَجُّبُهُمْ. But they will be very surprised. يَقُولُونَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْحَلِيمُ الْكَرِيمُ إِنَّ هَذَا النَّبِيُّ مُرْسَلٌ نَعْرِفُهُ بِسَمْتِهِ وَصِفَتِهِ غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ أُعْطِيَ فَضْلًا كَثِيرًا. He looks like us, but he's better than us. فيجتمعون. Then all the prophets, they get together and they ask one of them who knows better. Who is the one that they ask? Rasulullah. فيأتون رسول الله فيسألونه ويقولون يا محمد من هذا. Who is this? فيقول لهم أَوَمَا تَعْرِفُونَهُ. Don't you know who is this? يقولون ما نعرفه هذا ممن لم يغضب الله عليه. They say the only thing that we know is that this must be a person, someone, that Allah has never been displeased with him. لم يغضب الله عليه. He has never been violating, disregarding Allah's will. Allah has never been displeased with it. فيقول رسول الله هذا حجة الله على خلقه.
Rasulullah doesn't mention the details, just says he's the Hujjatullah over his people.
فَيُسَلِّمْ ثُمَّ يُجَاوِزْ حَتَّى يَأْتِي أَلَى صَفِّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ فِي سُورَةِ مَلَكٍ مُقَرَّبٍ.
The Quran continues, passes by the prophets and messengers and reaches the angels who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَتَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَيَشْتَدُّ تَعَجُّبُهُمْ وَيَكْبُرُ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِمَا رَأَوْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ.
They will also be very surprised, and it will be difficult for them. They are, you know, perplexed. Who is this?
يَقُولُونَ تَعَالَى رَبُّنَا وَتَقَدَّسَ.
Our Lord is high and is to be purified.
إِنَّ هَذَا الْعَبْدُ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَ نَعْرِفُهُ بِسَمْتِهِ وَصِفَتِهِ غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ كَانَ أَقْرَبَ الْمَلَائِكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَقَامًا.
He looks to be an angel, but he must be the closest angel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why he has been given light and beauty that much that we have not been given.
ثُمَّ يُجَاوِز.
But the Quran will still continue its journey.
حَتَّى يَنْتَهِي إِلَى رَبِّ الْعِزِّ
تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. The Quran will continue till reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَيَخِرُّ تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ.
The Quran will bow down before the arsh.
فَيُنَادِيهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى.
Then Allah will call the Quran,
يَا حُجَّتِي فِي الْأَرْضِ.
Oh, my hujjah on the earth.
وَكَلَامِي الصَّادِقِ النَّاطِقِ.
My word, which is true and which speaks. Inshallah, later in coming sessions, I will explain. Quran is not a silent book. Quran is a book which speaks. We might be deaf, but Quran is speaking. That's our problem. So, this is
كلامي الصادق الناطق,
which speaks. ارفع رأسك. Because Quran is bowing down, Allah says, raise your head.
وسل تعطى.
Ask me, and you will be given. Whatever you ask, it will be granted.
واشفع.
Do shafa'ah, intercede, and your shafa'ah will be accepted.
فَيَرْفَعُ رَأْسَهُ.
Then Quran will raise his head.
فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كَيْفَ رَأَيْتَ عِبَادِي.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the Quran, how did you find my people, my servants? Which means, how did they treat you? How was their approach to you? The Quran says, Ya Rabbi,
منهم من صانني وحافظ علي ولم يضيع شيئا.
Some of your servants, the Quran is, you know, bearing witness, says, some of your servants protected me. They were very careful about me. They didn't let anything about me being wasted or disregarded. So they were 100% careful about me.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ ضَيَّعَنِي.
But some of your servants, they, like, you know, wasted me. ضَيَّعَنِي.
وَاسْتَخَفَّ بِحَقِّي.
They underestimated my right or my position.
وَكَذَّبَ بِي.
They told lie about me or they denied me.
وَأَنَا حُجَّتُكَ عَلَى جَمِيعِ خَلْقِكَ.
While I was hujja for all the people, all your creation, but this was the response. This was the way people treated me. Some people respected me, some people disrespected me.
فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say,
وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي وَارْتِفَاعِ مَكَانِي.
by my dignity and glory and high position.
لَأُثِيبَنَّ عَلَيْكَ الْيَوْمَ أَحْسَنَ الثَّوَابِ وَلَأُعَاقِبَنَّ عَلَيْكَ الْيَوْمَ أَلِيمَ الْعِقَابِ.
Today, I am going to reward according to the way they have treated you, the best reward, and I am going to punish those who have not been respectful to you, the most painful punishment.
So, this hadith, and we have a similar hadith I will mention later, which is a brief summary of it, shows how much respect the Quran has. There is a beautiful hadith from, I think it's from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, which says, "Hurmatul Quran ala Allah." Alhamdulillah, now I think most of you understand Arabic, yeah? "Hurmatul Quran ala Allah ka hurmatil walid ala al walad." The respect that the Quran has with Allah means how much Allah respects the Quran. If you want to understand in human, you know, sense, okay? If you want to compare it, of course, Quran is not a human being and Allah is not a human being. But if you human beings want to understand, you try to compare and liken everything to your own relations. So if you want to understand how much Allah respects the Quran, you can liken this to the respect that a person has for his parent, like father. A good mu'min, not, you know, impolite children, a very polite, well-educated, nice person, how much he respects his father or mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has such respect for the Quran. Again, Allah is not human being, Quran is not human being, but just for you to understand, which means maximum respect that you should, even, you know, you should not go or walk in front of your father. Yeah? When you are, you know, walking, you should not go in front of your father or mother. Or, for example, if there is food, you should not, you know, take the food before your father starts. Okay? Everything, you have to be very respectful. So this is how much Allah respects the Quran. So, if you want to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the key is to love Quran, respect Quran, honor Quran, and prove this with your words and actions. Some people think kissing the Quran is enough. But kissing is not enough. Kissing is not, you know, showing or demonstrating respect. Yes, maybe 5%. If you kiss the Quran, but you don't act upon the Quran, what is the value of this? Yeah? Sometimes, you know, I say, like, for example, if we go to an alim, okay? We kiss his hand, but we don't take his advice. What is the value? You are thinking that you have done something great, you know, you have, but it's not important whether you kiss his hand, or the main important, most important thing, whether you take his advice or not. If you go to a doctor, kiss his hand, kiss the prescription, even kiss the medicine, but you take the medicine. What's the value? Alhamdulillah, I kissed his hand. If you kiss the Quran, but you are not following the Quran, this is not enough. Your life should kiss the Quran, not just your lips. If your life has kissed the Quran, that's important. Okay? So, this is a very shortcut, a very good, you know, way of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become a lover of the Quran, become respectful to the Quran, and inshallah, Allah will select you as one of His best servants. Hadith number 3. That was hadith number 1. Hadith number 3 in Kitab al-Fadl al-Quran. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, so that hadith was from whom? Imam Baqir. This is Imam Sadiq. Innal Aziz al-Jabbar anzala alaykum kitabah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Aziz, who has honor and dignity, absolute honor and dignity, and who is Jabbar, who has control over everything, and he has sovereignty, has sent down to you, inshallah we will discuss the meaning of inzal, what is the meaning of sending down the Quran. He has sent down to you, he has revealed to you kitabahu, his book, wa huwa sadiqul bar, and either Allah or his book is sadiq al bar. It can be a description of the book, it can be a description of Allah. Is sadiq means truthful, and bar means good. Fihi khabarukum, in this book there is information about you. Wa khabaru man qablakum, information, news about the people who were before you. Wa khabaru man ba'dakum, information about the people who come after you, future generations. Wa khabaru as-sama'i wal ardh, information about the sky and the earth. وَلَوْ أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ يُخْبِرُكُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ لَتَعَجَّبْتُمْ. If someone comes and informs you through the Quran about all these things, you will be surprised. You say, is this mentioned in the Quran? But it is there, you don't understand. If someone understands the language of the Quran, if someone is acquainted with the Quran, he can tell you all these things about you, previous generations, future generations, whatever is in the sky and the earth. Everything is in the Quran. You know, like something which is encoded and then has to be decoded. The next hadith is hadith number 11. Because time is short, I have just selected some of them. Hadith number 11 is the one which I said is like a brief version of hadith number 1. And Jabir and Abi Ja'far alayhi salam, Jabir narrates from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, يَجِيءُ الْقُرْآنَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي أَحْسَنِ مَنْظُورٍ إِلَيْهِ. The Quran comes in the best appearance, in the best, you know, face, and it reaches Muslimin. They say he is one of them, but he passes by. It reaches prophets. They say he's one of them, but he passes by them. Then he reaches angels. They say he's one of us, but the Quran would continue. Hatta yantahi ila Rabbil Izzah, till the Quran comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Quran says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabb, Fulan ibn Fulan, Azma'tu hawajirahu wa asharatu laylahu fi dar al-dunya. Quran says, oh Allah, so and so is a kind of witness, testimony, report. So and so are the people that I made their throats very thirsty, and made them unable to sleep. I kept them awake during the night. Means these are the people who recited me, reflected on me, okay? And so, no.
I didn't keep them awake. I didn't make them thirsty.
فَيَقُولُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أَدْخِلْهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ عَلَى مَنَازِلِهِمْ.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, those people who have been respecting the Quran, they should go to heaven, but in different ranks.
Mu'mineen will be said, اقرأ ورقة.
يقول للمؤمن اقرأ ورقة.
فيقرأ ويرقى.
Read and rise. Read and rise. So everyone, depending on how much he can read at that time, will rise. But now the question is, how much can you read at that time?
It's not something in your hand. It's something which is already decided by your relation in dunya with Quran. Okay? In the Quran, if you were a person who was 100% following the Quran, so you can read the whole Quran, all the verses of the Quran, so you would reach the highest position. If you have been implementing, following 99%, 98%, 90%, 10%, anyway, depending on how much you have taken on board from the Quran, you would be able to read. Okay? So it's not something that you say, I will be doing my best, you know, to read as much as possible there. Even if you are a hafiz of Quran in dunya, it doesn't mean that there you can read all the Quran. Okay? So this is important. Another hadith is hadith number 13. This hadith is from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. So alhamdulillah, today we had hadith from Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq, and it's from Imam Zainul Abidin, hadith number 13. This is a famous hadith, and I very much love this hadith, and I have mentioned also this hadith in Self-Knowledge. لو مات من بين المشرق والمغرب. If, God forbids, for any reason, all people die from the east to the west. Inshallah, this doesn't happen, but if it happens, God forbids, if all people die, لمستوحشتو. Imam Zainul Abidin says, I will not feel lonely. But there is a condition. بعد أن يكون القرآن معي. If Quran is with me, I will not feel lonely. Okay? Here, there are lots of discussions. This hadith needs lots of discussion. We don't have time. But I just make maybe one, 2 points. One, everyone should check himself or herself. And I should be the first person checking myself. What is giving us comfort in dunya? If you are a person that when is with the Quran, reading Quran, reflecting on the Quran, if you feel comfortable, for example, no one is at home, okay? It's a Sunday evening, no one at home. You know, normally you don't feel good maybe in Sunday evening, or, you know, maybe Friday evening for Mu'mineen, because Friday evening is very sad. Imam Zaman has not come, so maybe that's why we are sad. Anyway, very sad moment. If we feel comfortable with reading Quran and that gives us sukoon, that's a very good sign. But if you feel that you are lonely and you have to either phone someone or switch on the TV or, you know, listen to music, in order to get rid of that loneliness, then that's a problem. Unfortunately, many times, in order to feel comfortable, we look just for someone to make noise, or someone to keep us busy, someone to kill us our time. Yeah? Quran may not look attractive. This is a problem. But Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, if I have only Quran with me, I don't feel lonely. And this also means that even when people are around, your main source of comfort should be not people, should be Quran or good qualities of people. For example, if they are mu'min, if they are, you know, alim, if they have good qualities, that's good. But just, you know, there is a human being next to me, this is not enough. Then the hadith says, the narrator is Zuhari, after mentioning this hadith from Imam Zainul Abidin, he says, وَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. This is not saying of Imam Sajjad. This is what he says about Imam Sajjad. He says, وَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ إِذَا قَرَأَ مَالِكَ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ يُكَرِّرُهَا. When Imam Zainul Abidin was reciting Surah Hamd, maybe outside Salat, he was repeating Malik Yawmuddin. He was not able to pass by. He was repeating Hatta Kada and Yamut. It was as if he's going to die. Because he was seeing the day of judgment. So he was not able to pass by this ayah. One reason we can read Quran very quickly, because we don't understand the Quran. Yeah? You know, sometimes, you know, we read the Quran very quickly. One page, two pages, 10 pages, 100 pages. We read quickly. Why? Because we cannot understand. You know, if you take people to a museum, okay? For example, a museum of, I don't know, art, you know, okay? If you are not an artist, it takes you 5 minutes to finish the whole museum. If you are an artist, every step takes 1 hour. Even, you know, maybe one piece you spend from morning till night. Because you are an artist, you understand what it is. You cannot, you know, go quickly. You know, some people go to museums, you know, half an hour they are tired, you know, they are bored. Some people go every day. So why we can read Quran so quickly? Because we don't understand. Otherwise, every verse of the Quran should keep you stuck. Okay? كَانَ إِذَا قَرَأَ مَالِكَ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ يُكَرِّرُهَا حَتَّى كَادَ أَنْ يَمُوتَ. Hadith number 14 is again similar to hadith number 1. So I don't repeat it. So we have mentioned few hadiths about the significance of the Quran in the first part. Inshallah, we will have a short break, and then inshallah, we will continue our discussion. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.